Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Sunday, July the 29th, and today was day 4 of Miami Dolphins training camp, the 4th practice so far, and it was initially thought because head coach Adam Gase and the Miami Dolphins organization announced on Friday that this morning's practice, this Sunday morning's practice, would be in full pads. Ended up, it was not in full pads. The Miami Dolphins were only in their shoulder pads and such. They weren't in full pads. So there must have been a change there. Don't know why. Not a huge deal. They are also scheduled to be in full pads tomorrow. We'll see if they are. If I had to guess, I think they will go as planned and be in full pads on Monday. Just because there's no practice on Tuesday, that's the off day. So if they go full pads tomorrow, that will give the guys one day of rest there to sort of heal their body and get themselves accustomed to the hitting. But today, Sunday morning, no full pads. They were the same as Saturday, just in their shoulder pads. Only when it comes to the injuries, like how I like to start all of these podcasts off here, recapping the practices. Jake Brendel, he was out once again today for the third day in a row. That right calf, he's got his right calf there in his sleeve. He hasn't been practicing now. Excuse me. Tight end A.J. Derby was out with a foot injury. And defensive tackle Gabe Wright was also out with a foot injury. Wide receiver Isaiah Ford, who I'm going to talk about a lot later on, he did participate in practice today. But he still had on the red jersey, which means no contact for him. But he had a good practice, and we'll get to that later. But Isaiah Ford, who was banged up on Friday, he did participate for the second day in a row now, just with the red jersey, so he can't be hit. Let's get to the practice now. And the majority of the practice, I don't want to say all of it, but the majority, was the Miami Dolphins working on the red zone offense. So a lot of guys today caught touchdowns as they sort of shrunk the field and worked on the red zone offense overall. Ryan Tannehill had another very good day. At the end of practice, he did throw his first interception of training camp. Rashad Jones did pick him off once. But overall, Ryan Tannehill had another strong outing, and the knee does not seem to be an issue at all. So that's very good as well. The other thing, as we have said, pretty much all through OTAs and pretty much through every one of these practice reviews I have done now for 4 straight days, Tannehill and Danny Amendola are connecting left and right. And it looks like Amendola has just stepped right into the role of Jarvis Landry and has taken that over. So, you know, look, it's only 4 practices. You can't start reading too much into it and such. But one would think it's going to be a big year for Danny Amendola. Brock Osweiler started off as he got the first shot today to be the backup quarterback, and he had a bad day. His first day was really bad. Then he came back with a couple okay days on Friday and Saturday. Sunday morning was really bad. It was a bad day. And the Miami Dolphins backup quarterback situation, as I said, this isn't exactly breaking news to any of us, but God forbid something were to happen to Ryan Tannehill, they're in a whole lot of trouble because the guys behind him just really are not that good. And I'm not sure what Miami's going to do about it. Osweiler, I mean, it's only 4 practices. You can't get nuts. But if this does continue into, say, the early preseason, I don't see how you keep him around. Fails, just because he's been here, he knows the offense, he knows the players, I guess you stick with him for a bit. Bryce Petty, nothing special at all there. So I guess they may be looking at waiver wire guys eventually. I don't know. Because, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. Because none of these guys are really any good. And if something were to happen to Ryan Tannehill, even if he were to miss, you know, a quarter, even if he were to get hurt in a game, be out for a half, I don't know how any of these guys can hold a four. I know Fales in that Week 17 game last year against the Buffalo Bills looked somewhat competent. But a couple things. A, Miami was already out of the playoffs, and there was no pressure on them in that game. B, Week 17, it's tough to get a good read on that and read much into that. Yeah, I mean, he looked okay, too. It was not like he looked outstanding. So if Fales had to step in and play a half or a game or two games in the regular season, should Tannehill get hurt? Could he hold the fort? Maybe. I doubt it. If he had to play, you know, like a month or two or like half the year, if something really happened to Ryan Tannehill, I think, you know, that'd be really bad, honestly. I'm not sure what Miami's going to do with the backup quarterback situation. It is a concern, though, in my eyes, because I just thought after last year they should have addressed this more. They should have allocated more salary cap money to this spot because Tannehill, you know, he looks great so far, but God forbid something happens to that knee, you know, the season's over, folks. It really is. If Tannehill's not the quarterback, the season is over. But we'll see how it plays out. Also today in practice, the Miami Dolphins, and they did this a little in the OTAs in May and June, and that is they lined up Albert Wilson at running back. And I think when they lined him up at running back, although they did give him the ball today on some handoffs, but I think more times than not, when they line him up at running back, it's to line him up at running back and get him out in the passing game so he is matched up against a linebacker who does not and will not have the speed to cover him, you know, in the flank or down the field in the passing game. So I think when Wilson lines up at running back, it's not always going to be a passing play, but I think more times than not, it's because they want to throw him the ball and they want to get a mismatch. And they want him matched up against, you know, a slower linebacker, which he can run right by. Albert Wilson, you know, he's sort of built like a running back. He's sort of short, stocky. He's tough, but, you know, and they might give him a handoff every now and then just to keep the opponents honest, I guess. But more times than not, I think when they line him up in the backfield at running back, which they're doing, and they have done since OTAs, and they did this morning in practice, it's because they want him in the flat, in the running out against linebackers, matched up against linebackers. Adam Gase and the Miami Dolphins are going to get real creative here with Albert Wilson. They are going to find new and creative ways to get him the ball, whether it's on an end around, whether it's on a handoff, whether it's on a screen pass, whether it's, you know, line him up on the outside, line him up in the slot. They are going to look to get him the ball every which way possible, which is very smart because he has the ability, and he has proven this too with the Chiefs. You get him the ball in space, he can take it to the end zone from anywhere on the field. And I know some of you fans are probably saying, well, we already have a guy like that in Jakeem Grant. We've never done that with him. True, but Albert Wilson's a little bit better than Grant. I mean, look, they're very similar players, but Albert Wilson is a more proven player right now than Jakeem Grant. And I think Adam Gase is going to have a lot of fun, and I mean a lot of fun, finding ways to get Albert Wilson the ball. And they're going to line him up everywhere. They're going to line him up on the outside, line him up in the slot, line him up in the backfield. We had Wilson on our podcast at the end of June. Great guy. And he even said so on that show, you can line him up anywhere. He doesn't care. If you want to line him up in the slot, great. You want to put him on the outside, great. You want to put him in the backfield, great. Albert Wilson said to me right here in this podcast, he didn't care. Just find ways to give him the ball. And I think that's what Miami is going to do. So something to keep an eye on, because everyone just sees Albert Wilson as a wide receiver. I think they're going to just look for ways to get him the ball. The other guy at wide receiver who has just, and like I said, the last 2 days he's been in the red jersey and not able to be hit and have any contact, but it hasn't slowed him down. Isaiah Ford right now might be, through 4 days of practice, probably the second or third best wide receiver on his team. I would say Amendola has looked amazing through the first 4 days of practice. Jakeem Grant has looked amazing through the first 4 days of practice. Isaiah Ford has also looked amazing through the first 4 days of practice. Who you want to rank who's looked the best? That's in the eye of the beholder. But at the end of the day, Isaiah Ford's one of the better wide receivers on this team. Isaiah Ford looks like he is going to be a steal for the Miami Dolphins, who they drafted in the 2017 draft in round 7. And just early on in practice, he has just caught everything, diving balls, touchdowns. He caught a touchdown once again today. He has just been spectacular. And hopefully this continues when the pads go on. Because, like we said, the Miami Dolphins are probably going to carry 6 wide receivers. And right now, and I know it's very early, I do not see how anyone out of the group of, you know, Rashawn Scott, Drew Morgan, Leonte, Carew, is going to beat out Isaiah Ford for this spot. Because Ford is someone who is making plays at wide receiver. And that, you know, when we got guys on this team like Devontae Parker, who just, even though he was picked around 1, he's got the height, he's got the speed, he's got the size, just underperforms year after year. Then you see someone like Ford, who's picked around 7, just bring it every day in practice. I think Ford's going to make this team. I think Ford, he might even, you know, slide up that depth chart. Maybe he passes someone like Jakeem Grant at some point and is the 5th wide receiver technically on the depth chart. Although, that really doesn't matter because how they line up and how they get snaps is more based off of, you know, the formation and the package they're in. But I think Ford, look, he is just playing lights out right now. Playing the best football of his life. And he looks to be 100% healthy, 100% recovered from last year's injury, which is a great sign. Hopefully he's out of this red jersey here in the next couple days and he's back to full strength. We'll probably know a little bit about that tomorrow because if they do, as planned, go in full pads on Monday, if Ford's still in the red jersey, they'll probably just hold him out so he doesn't get hit. But if he's ready to go, they'll probably rip the red jersey off him and let him just go. Let him just play like everybody else. So Isaiah Ford is, you know, between Isaiah Ford and Torrey McTyer, you know, early on here, you got the Miami Dolphins with some guys who were picked late or just weren't, drafted at all are showing themselves as guys who can provide depth to this roster and in maybe a year or two are really big contributors on this team. So the early signs here for Isaiah Ford are nothing but positive. Nothing but positive. At tight end, Mike Gesicki got his first crack with the first string at tight end today, and he did well. He had a very pretty-looking one-handed catch in the end zone. In the red zone drills, he caught it over Minkah Fitzpatrick, a beautiful catch. He had 2 touchdowns on the day overall. You know, Mike Gesicki in the passing game is going to make plays. There's no doubt about it. There was also a report out that was up on MiamiDolphins.com, I believe, actually, saying how he has sort of already grasped the entire Miami Dolphins playbook. He knows the offense, and that's not slowing him down. He has picked up the offense. He knows that playbook like the back of his hand. So, you know, for a rookie to sort of grasp something like that so quickly, that's a great sign. I mean, it's an amazing sign, actually. So, Gesicki here, you know, he's going to earn himself. I could see him slowly moving up the depth chart. The downside with him, and again, this isn't breaking news, and it's going to take time for him to get better here. He can't block to save his life. And there was a few plays today where if this was a real game, Ryan Tannehill would have gotten creamed. I mean, he would have just gotten destroyed. So Gesicki still has to improve there. And it was also interesting, per the reporters on hand, that Miami Dolphins defensive coordinator Matt Burke, for a series of plays in a row, just blitzed the holy hell out of Mike Gesicki. And Gesicki could not consistently pick up the blocks and was struggling. But, you know, that's how he's going to get better, is sort of throw him into the fire and, you know, just throw everything at him. And that's what Miami Dolphins defensive coordinator Matt Burke did today. They just blitzed him every play, every which way, threw multiple blitzes at him, tried to confuse him, and he struggled, Gesicki, which, you know, we know he's not a strong blocker. He probably never will be a strong blocker, but he needs to be an adequate blocker. He needs to be to the point where he's not getting the quarterback hurt and hit and killed. And look, this is the time where you get better. In the summer, in training camp. So hopefully Gesicki does improve in his blocking. It's a work in progress. It's not going to happen overnight. It probably won't happen this year. It might not even happen next year. It's just going to take a few years for him to be, you know, what I would call an average to above average NFL blocker. But he needs to get better, and he needs to show improvement. So hopefully we see that throughout the rest of camp, that he just keeps improving. Because he's not the type of guy who's ever going to be good in that role. But he's going to make plays in the passing game for sure. And today he ran with the first team for some plays, and he made plays in the passing game. And that's what you want. Last tidbit on the offense was Frank Gore, who's looked good the first few days. He had a fumble today caused by Rashad Jones. So that's that. Rashad Jones had a heck of a practice today. He was everywhere. He caused a fumble on Frank Gore, and he also had the interception on Ryan Tannehill. No shock. Rashad Jones is, you know, just a great player. He's a Pro Bowl. He's a Pro Bowl caliber safety. Not telling you anything that you don't know, but he had a heck of a practice today. At the cornerback spot, we only had four practices, and we've had now three different cornerbacks line up with the first string opposite Xavier Howard. Day one, it was Lippitt. Day one and two, it was Day one and two, it was Lippitt. Saturday, it was Torrey McTyer. And today on Sunday, it was Cordrea Tankersley. That cornerback spot opposite of Xavier Howard is totally up for grabs. Totally up for grabs. And we'll see who earns it. That's probably going to play itself out all throughout the preseason. If I had to guess right now today, I think my money's probably on Tankersley because Lippitt, he's still recovering from the injury. And I think they're going to want to ease him in and watch how many snaps he's on the field for each game. Torrey McTyer, as well as he's playing, I don't know if he's ready to start right now. So he, even though he's playing outstanding, I'm not sure he's ready to start. So I think Tankersley, he's the guy who probably has the inside track for the starting cornerback spot. But that's going to be a spot that's up for grabs. You're going to see, you know, a lot of guys on the field there because Miami is so deep at corner. You could even see them slide Bobby McCain sometimes on the outside to put Minkah Fitzpatrick in the slot. I mean, they're going to mix and match on that opposite cornerback spot probably, you know, each week, I would think. But the inside track for who's technically going to be the starter, I think, still is Cordrea Tankersley as of now. But we'll see as the summer goes on. Linebackers. Today, when the Miami Dolphins ran their nickel package, the two linebackers on the field were Kiko Alonso and Raekwon McMillan. Not really a shock. Not really a surprise. Those are Miami's best two linebackers for sure. So, not a shock that they will be on the field in the nickel. And I don't think that's going to change much. The one name, I got to say, we've now had four practices. And I'm talking to people on the grounds. I'm talking to people who are at the practices. I'm reading all the reports from all the reporters who are there and such. The one name I haven't heard mentioned at all through four practices is the rookie linebacker, Jerome Baker. I guess that's good because it means he's not getting beat or he's not looking lost or he's not looking overmatched. So you could look at it as the glass half full. You wanted to look at it as the glass half empty. You can look at it as he's not making any plays either. So it all depends on your perspective. It's kind of interesting. Through 4 days of practice, Jerome Baker's name really hasn't surfaced anywhere. Really hasn't been mentioned at all. So I'm going to try to find out more on that and see what's going on with him and get more information and just see what's going on there. The other linebacker who had a nice day today was linebacker Terrence Garvin, who had an interception in the red zone. Terrence Garvin's a guy who's competing with the Chase Allens and Mike Hulls of the world to be the fifth, sixth linebacker on this team. He's got just as good a chance as any of them because to me they're all about the same. Obviously, Chase Allens had a couple interceptions here early on. Today, Terrence Garvin had one. We'll see how this all plays out, but Terrence Garvin did make a play today. Jalen Davis had a great interception on a diving catch. The undrafted kid, he's someone Miami's going to want to hide on the practice squad. I'm not sure they'll be able to, because at cornerback, Miami has so much depth that someone like Jalen Davis, he has almost no shot of making this team unless somebody gets hurt. Honestly, he has no shot of making the roster, but he's got a lot of potential, a lot of talent, and the coaches love him. They love what they saw from him in the OTAs. He's having a good start to camp. Hopefully, Miami can sort of stash him and hide him on the practice squad. I'm not sure they'll be able to. I think there'll be a team out there who will try to sneak him away come the end of training camp and add him to their roster. Overall, on Sunday's practice, from everyone who was on site, the defense did outplay the offense, so take that for what it's worth. Again, they weren't in full pads, so it's really tough to judge stuff like this when they're not in full pads, but that's what it appeared today from the people on site. Hopefully, like I said, tomorrow they will be in full pads. Special teams, we'll talk about special teams here real quick, and then I'm going to close the show with the news of Brett McHenry, who I know some of you probably don't want to hear about it, so I save it to the end. If you don't want to hear about it, you can just end the show. But first, let's talk about special teams. On the kickoff return drills, Miami, here's who they had back there working. They had Jakeem Grant, no surprise, Sonoris Perry, Bobby McCain, Danny Amendola, and Kenyon Drake. Again, Drake has such a valuable role in this offense. I doubt he'll be returning punts or kickoffs. Amendola, there's no way he'll be returning kickoffs, but he was back there today working with them. Grant, obviously. McCain, I'd even be shocked with him. I think guys like Grant and Sonoris Perry, you know, will be your kickoff return guys. But honestly, with the rules in the special teams, kickoff returns aren't what they used to be. The rules have changed so much. You're gonna see touchbacks, I think. Until teams get comfortable with on how to cover this, they're probably just going to tell their kicker, blast it out of the end zone so we don't even have to deal with it. Eventually, I think as the season goes on, once teams start getting used to the rule changes on kickoffs, which they've been drastic, folks. We talked about it back in like March and April on this podcast. The rule changes are drastic. It's going to look entirely different on the kickoffs. Special teams, they matter, but it's not what it used to be. It's really not. And when it comes to place kicking today, Jason Sanders was 6 for 8, which is okay. His long was 51 yards. The two he missed, though, were two, I guess, what you would call chip shots, 33 yards and 36 yards, which he can't be missing those because essentially those are extra point level type kicks. Inside of 40 yards in the NFL, if you are a place kicker, you got to be damn near automatic. So Jason Sanders, 6 for 8, is not awful, but the two misses were inside of 40, of 33 and 36. You can't miss those in the NFL. If you want to be a place kicker in the NFL, inside of 40 yards, you got to be automatic. You got to be 98%, 97%. You got to be damn near perfect. Outside of 40 yards, if you miss some, fine, whatever. But inside of 40 yards in the NFL, you cannot miss kicks. And today, Sanders missed two. Granted, it's still very early in training camp. You can't overreact. But that's a trend he has to nip in the bud. It's okay to miss a couple. But if you're going to miss them, they better be outside of 40 yards. So, again, the Miami Dolphins will have a practice Monday morning. Then they have an off day on Tuesday. Hopefully on Monday they will be in full pads. That's the plan. That's what was announced by the team. If they're not, not a huge deal, but that'd be a little interesting if they did cancel it. I think they'll be in full pads on Monday, though, if I had to guess. So that's all for the practice on Sunday. Now I will talk about the Britt McHenry story that broke late Saturday night. If you don't want to hear about it, and you I don't care about Britt McHenry, screw her. I don't care. Why are we giving her attention? I understand. Don't send me angry tweets. Don't send me angry emails. I've saved it for the end of the show. If you don't want to hear it, turn off the show now. We'll be back with another podcast tomorrow. But for those of you who do want to hear my thoughts on it, here we go. And I'm not even going to spend a lot of time on this because, honestly, on some level, I get it. Like, who cares what she thinks? She's sort of sort of a joke these days when it comes to the journalism field and sort of that, you know, pop culture journalism, pop culture, I guess you would say, era we live in or whatever. Because what she did back in 2015 was so vile and disgusting. You know, people don't take her seriously anymore. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, we have the video up on our website, DolphinsTalk.com. Back in 2015, Britt McHenry, who was a rising star at ESPN, she really was, as a sideline reporter and as a studio host, she was a rising star. And, you know, she was out one night and her car got towed. And the next morning when she went to go pick up her car, as she's paying the tow lot attendant, you know, she's calling the tow lot attendant ugly and fat, and you have no education, you have no teeth, I'm on TV, I'm smart, you're a loser, just a disgusting, vile, and she's cursing throughout the rant. So, of course, the tow lot attendant, as she should have, released the video, and it went viral, and ESPN then suspended her for a week. And then just last year, as they're going through all their layoffs at ESPN, which you can call a layoff, I call them people losing their jobs and being fired because they're not getting called back. Britt McHenry was then fired by ESPN, partially in part because, you know, they don't want to be associated with someone like this. And if you're doing cutbacks, you know, the first to go is the one who's caused a PR nightmare for your company. So Britt McHenry on Saturday night, you know, goes on Twitter, you know, and she claimed to be a fan of the Miami Dolphins, which she did go to high school in South Florida, I believe, or somewhere in Florida. I'm not sure if it was South Florida exactly. But, you know, claims to be a fan of the Miami Dolphins, but she didn't know until just last night. She just realized that in 2018, the Miami Dolphins are going to be starting Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. And since she just found this news out, you know, she was flabbergasted and put up a Twitter storm ripping Ryan Tannehill, comparing him to female athletes, which is ludicrous, and just saying just some of the most, you know, stupid things. Here's a tweet. Are the Dolphins still really sticking with Ryan Tannehill, a glorified college wide receiver who's perpetually hurt? Mind you, he's had one injury in his life, really, where he hurt his knee. He's not perpetually hurt. And, you know, and then she goes, I could pick you five athletic women in wide-ranging sports who would be a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill, starting with Serena Williams, which there's an interesting part there about her. She names four athletes, not five. She did name five, but she didn't know the name of the last one. And just named five female athletes who would be a better starting quarterback than Ryan Tannehill. Give me a break. You know, just idiotic, mean-spirited tweets. And here's all I'm going to say. First off, you can't take her seriously. You can't. She's proven through her actions, through her words, through the viral video that went out at her at the tow truck lot, that, you know, she's a lowlife. She's not a good person. She's just ignorant just not very bright. And you can't get worked up about it. I will say this, though. She is also a coward because at some point Saturday night into Sunday morning, she removed two of the tweets. So I'm guessing, you know, she might have realized once they were out there and the media started to pick this up, and people started to react to her tweets, she's like, let me take them down. The fact she only took down two and not all of them shows she's really not that smart. Because why won't you take all of them down? She only took down two. Whatever. But, you know, she's a lowlife. She's not a good person. She's not very bright. As a sports journalist, and if you're just realizing now, I know she hasn't been in the field of sports journalism for a while, but she did claim to be a fan of the Miami Dolphins. That you're just realizing now in August that they're starting quarterbacks Ryan Tannehill doesn't say much for the research and homework you do on sports in general, I guess. Because, look, the NFL is the king sport in America, and there's only 32 starting quarterbacks. And you probably should know the one for your quote-unquote favorite team. You know, whatever. It is what it is. But she's no kid. She is 32 years old. She's been in controversy a lot recently. On top of the viral video thing, she dates a tennis player who has also tweeted and retweeted some racist remarks. And the fact, and here's why it's funny, because her boyfriend, who's the tennis player, was actually scolded like 8 or 10 weeks ago by Serena Williams online, sort of, you know, calling him out for being a racist. So then when Britt McHenry, Saturday night goes, I could pick 5 women who would be a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill. The first one she names is Serena Williams. Let me break it to you, Britt. Serena Williams doesn't like you or your boyfriend. She thinks he's a racist, and she probably thinks you're a racist by association. So there's that. Look, she now works at Fox News as a contributor. She's not qualified to talk about sports, which is, let's be honest, sports is sports. It's fun. It's, you know, light. It's not, you know, in the world of journalism, you got the serious stuff. If you're covering wars, you're covering elections, that's serious journalism. If you're covering sports, not that you don't take the job seriously, but you're covering a game at the end of the day. How she is now qualified to cover politics for and like real news for Fox News, I have no idea. I mean, yes, Fox News. I know some people love them, some people hate them. I'm not going to get into that. But Fox News, look, we know why they hired her. Because she's a beautiful girl and she's a former model. But let's be honest, she is not a real journalist. And these tweets she put out Saturday night prove she's not a real journalist. She burned every bridge with ESPN. If I had to bet $1, I bet you she will be out of Fox News within 6 months and she will burn every bridge there. And I bet you within 9 months she's going to be a waitress at Hooters because that's what she's qualified for and nothing more. She's not a good person. She's not a smart person. And she comes off very mean-spirited in a lot of the things she says. And that's about all I'm going to say on Britt McHenry. I'm not, unless she goes on another Twitter tirade or rant again, I probably won't bring her up ever again. But, you know, she'll be appearing at a Hooters near you within 6 to 9 months because she is in no way qualified to be a journalist in any field. I don't care if it's sports. I don't care if it's politics. I don't care if it's hard news. I don't care if she's reporting on the local Little League field being built for some small town in Podunk, Iowa. She's not qualified to report on that. She is just someone who's a vile human being and just someone who's not very bright. Now, look, it's okay if she has the opinion that the Miami Dolphins aren't a very good team and that Ryan Tannehill isn't very good, that's fine. Everyone's entitled to an opinion, and that's even a fair opinion to have because the Miami Dolphins haven't been good for many years. And Ryan Tannehill, you know, he hasn't really lit the world on fire as a quarterback, and he's been in the league since 2012. That's fair. But when you start comparing him to a female athlete, you know, that's just a cheap shot below the belt, and you come off just uninformed. It's like her first tweet, the Miami Dolphins are going with Ryan Tannehill in 2018. Well, don't you know that? And then you can't say at the end, they're my favorite team. Well, if they're your favorite team, that's something you should know. You just come off like an idiot. You come off like a thick-headed idiot, and hopefully she just goes away into oblivion. And we never hear from her again. So, that's all I have for this Sunday afternoon. Like I said, we'll be back with another show on Monday. And I have a few guests lined up for next week. So, be on the lookout for that. We'll have a bunch of shows next week. And we'll also have on a whole bunch of guests as well. So, everyone, have a great rest of your Sunday. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.